As Jon said at the outset, we have come into a season, a green season of the church, ordinary time. Seasons are interesting things, not just seasons of the church, but seasons of life. There are seasons of life, as I've experienced, that where lots happens. If I think about the years between when I was 15 and 25, a lot happened. I could never have anticipated at 15 what was going to happen in the next 10 years. I got a driver's license. I got a degree. I got a diploma. I got a wife. I got one child. I got a mortgage. I started a second career. Two careers. One career, two careers. A lot happened. And the way I describe this is like when I was used to do track and field events. If you're running a 400-meter track, when you're running around the curve, everything's changing. Everything's in movement. And you really don't know quite where you are. It's very dynamic. And then comes the long straight. The long straight. There are decades in life where, well, not that much changes. You know who you are. Things are established. And it rolls. And it rolls. This green time of year is a bit like that. It's a very good time, but not a great deal is going to be, as it were, celebrated or marked. This is, if you're a runner, the long straight. What do you need for the long straight? I see this question emerging for people in our church at times somewhere in the 30s. Okay, all the big things have happened, a bit like me at 25. Well, things kept happening for a few years. And then there's the long straight. And I see people, where's the excitement? Where's the action? How come I'm so tired? Yeah. And I see that graceful transition sometimes in what used to be the TIFF generation. You know, and go from excitement and development and change through to how come I'm tired and how can I survive this? We need wisdom for that. We need wisdom for that. And where I'm going, I think, with this message is simply that one of the things that God prescribes for that and that Christians have learned through the centuries is rhythm. Rhythm. Rhythm is just so helpful. It keeps music together. Sometimes there's not much more than rhythm in a lot of music, but it's so strong and it just keeps things together and keeps things moving. In the first passage we heard this morning, the book of Deuteronomy, a second statement of God's instruction to his people. And this is all after the excitement of coming out of Egypt, of the wanderings through the desert, and now coming into the land, about to come into the land and be able to live supposedly in peace. And so the people are reminded of a few things and instructed. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. This is about rhythm. This is not a law or a rule for rule's sake. There's deep wisdom in this. And part of that wisdom is unpacked a few verses later. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord has commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Every seventh day. Now, many of Israel's neighbors in the ancient world thought they were nuts. Some economists today would think it's nuts. What, you give up 1/7 of all productivity? Don't you know, slavery pays. It's economically sensible. But slavery is not God's purpose for his children, is it? Some of your companies, your employing companies, in my opinion, come fairly close to slavery at times. You're paid for it, but it's not far off slavery. God's vision for his children is not slavery. It's the dignity of work. And he tells them, one day in 7, you shall rest. And you shall remember. Take that time to think, now, where did we come from? What did God do? Who am I? What are our stories? That's rhythm. Very wise, mandated by God, and picked up by Christians, modified, the Sabbath becomes the Lord's Day. Still, one day in 7, you rest and you remember and you turn your thoughts and your energies that day to God. This is a prescription for health at so many levels. At so many levels. There's something really weird going on here for the people of Israel. Without going into the whole book of Exodus, they had been slaves. And typically, every time they had a problem, some voice would go up and say, gosh, we had it good as slaves. The cucumbers and the meats and the, you know, the taskmasters were so pleasant. Let's go back to Egypt, be slaves. And if I generalize this, there is something about the known, even if it's slavery, that is attractive. And human beings are sucked to it. And God was taking his people from slavery and preparing them for freedom. Much, much later, St. Paul would reflect on how God's work in Christ had done something very similar. He says in Romans and Galatians, we have not been given a spirit of slavery, but a spirit of freedom. To be the children of God. We've been given the spirit, in fact, of adoption. Or elsewhere he says, it is for freedom that we've been set free. But there is this tendency in humanity to feel quite happily back in slavery. Especially if it's familiar. That's where I came from. That's what I'm used to. And God mandates rhythm. Through the month of May, I spoke about spirituality and living the spiritual life. And anyone who has seriously sought to develop their inner life and their walk with God will have discovered rhythm. The whole monastic movement ran on it, cutting the day up into sections and 5 o'clock and entering a rhythm so that this remembering and this attending to God was pulsing through life. To make it really simple, we are living beings. We breathe. We breathe in. We breathe out. We breathe the Holy Spirit, the life of God, the good things of God in. We can't hold that breath. We need to breathe it out. And our body is set up this way that as the heart pumps, the breath has to go in, has to go out. And that's the sort of deep design that God has put into us as mammals, as part of creation, and that is there also in the life of the church. As a church, we need to breathe in and we need to breathe out. That God's Spirit is flowing in and through us, in and out. In the life of the church, we gather here, we, as it were, we breathe in, then we go out to be instruments of the Holy Spirit. But that Sabbath day rest is really important. And I notice that as the pressures of life increase with people, and the pressures are real, by the time you've got an employer, a wife, several children, a whole lot of pieces of machinery to keep going, the grass grows, the pressures, so much to attend to. And the Word of God just cuts through that and says, every seventh day, you rest. Let the grass grow. I know, coming from New Zealand, I'm culturally equipped to say that. Let the grass grow. Not a problem. That's deep, deep wisdom. So what do you do on the Sabbath? Well, most Christians gather, come to church, attend to the things of God. Even that can become a pressure. Gosh, I've got to get the kids out of bed, scrubbed, in the car, and be there on time. But drill down to the essential of it. What is the essence of this seventh day? Remember. Remember. That in your day, whether you live alone, whether you are part of a family, whether you lead a family, that in that day, attention is given to God. Prime time attention. That's essentially what this is about. That's what Sunday's about. Within the rhythm, we have structured something, we have resourced something so that we can give attention to God. It's so easy for that to derail. And instead of once every 7 days, it becomes once every 14 days, or once a month, or when I can. God has not given us a spirit of slavery to fall back into. But that is where this pressure takes us. I resisted going on WhatsApp for a long time. I'm still not on LinkedIn. I know some people invite me, but I'm not coming. Oh, I'm just not going there. I don't need another notification. I don't need, you know, to be reminded on my screen who my friends are, and it's gone too far for me. But I resisted WhatsApp for a long time. And then I saw the sense and the value of it. I don't have a data plan. I'm but last century, so I rely on Wi-Fi. So I get out of my car and I walk to the house. And from the footpath to the house, my phone is pinging. Ping, 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 ping. I'm not overstating it. And I look, when I get inside, it says 25 notifications. What am I supposed to do? Spend the next hour going through it? Sometimes I do. What should I do? Sometimes I get bits of office management advice, by the way. I'd be curious what to do with this one. I've got a life to live. So I get to it sometime, but not in prime time. I get to it. The reason I'm telling you this is that these are the sinews of slavery in our world, where something that's supposed to be so wonderful and helpful becomes a net that just can suck the life out of us. Rhythm. Pattern. You don't have to be monastic. They really went to the max. Get up at 2 a.m. Have any of you stayed at a monastery and entered their rhythm of prayer? 2 a.m. is awesome, isn't it? You can sleep in four-hour blocks and sort of adjust. But you really have to have a calling to that. But God just said, no, look, simple, one day in seven. And because we live in a Judeo-Christian, Greco-Roman sort of culture, the calendar is helpful that way. We have 7 days a week. And there's some support in that. Things do quieten down a bit on Sunday. But it comes down to us to owning that rhythm. That this is a day to remember. And what I want to advocate is that intentionally, somewhere in your Sunday, whether it's you're sitting by yourself in a quiet place, or you draw your household together to attend and remember. And the very best you can do is remember what the Lord has done for you. Remember your relationship. Remember your story. How he has led you. Remember what slavery has looked like in your life. And how the Lord may have taken you out of that. That's the deep wisdom here. Now, by the day of Jesus, something had got twisted. And I just want to make sure it's not twisted in our minds here. What had got twisted was that God's instruction, God's wisdom for Sabbath observance, one day in seven, you rest because you are a dignified child of God. You are not a slave. You are not just an economic unit for some empire builder somewhere. You are a child of God, and you shall live and work out of rest. And to sustain that, you will remember who you are, what God has done for you, so that the next day you stand clear in who you are with a head that's free. If we don't do that every 7 days, I know from experience when I have not had a rest day in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I don't know who I am anymore. Things get really, patience runs out, temper gets short. I'm not in my right mind. That was the gift, that was the wisdom that God gave his people. But something took over by the day of Jesus, and the Pharisees were the practitioners here. A rule is a rule. No comment on you. Okay? The law is the law, to put it in American English. It takes on a power and a dynamic in its own right. And a whole lot of people are running around working out what Sabbath observance means, and apparently there were 600 regulations. And some of them are mentioned, okay, about the tying the donkey. One hand is not work, two hands is work. Right, it's bizarre, isn't it? And Jesus has no time for this. No time for this whatsoever. He's not interested in rules for rules' sake. And he moves in the freedom of the Sabbath. Gosh, you know, if my boys are hungry and plucking wheat grains, what's wrong with that? You've got to eat on the Sabbath. Barbara's grandfather was a Presbyterian minister, and they were pretty strong on the Sabbath. So that meant that Barbara's grandmother had to prepare all the food on Saturday so that on Sunday there would be no work. You know, this line of thinking has been even in some Christian strands until quite recently, quite strong. And Jesus debunks that, and he comes against the hypocrisy of taking a rule, a law, and a regulation and making a big deal of it in its own right, as if God is some super policeman concerned with all these minute details. No. And then he offers that memorable line. Sabbath is made for people, not people for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is made for us. It's a gift. It's a practical detail of rhythm that we can enter into. So that, to close, and I don't know if that picture can come up, David, the earthen vessel, but that beautiful image that we heard from Paul this morning. We have this treasure. He's talking about the resurrection life, the Holy Spirit in earthen vessels. We have something precious. We have something beautiful from God. Amen? Do you lie there in your bed at night ever and say, thank you, Jesus? You may have a list as long as your arm of all the problems and issues and things you need to attend to. But deep inside, do you celebrate the grace of God that you have received? Say yes. Say yes. Okay, I hear a yes. Come and tell us about it. No. Yes is good. We have the spiritual treasure in a very humble earthen vessel. And our vessel is not to be despised. We're not going to become dualists or people who despise the body and say it's all about the spiritual journey. No, that's a gross distortion. Jesus was raised from the dead bodily. But somewhere in the center of our being, we have this treasure. And what I've been talking about, if I make it individual, it's all about nurturing that treasure. Rhythm. Rhythm. Regularly cherishing that inner treasure. Regularly acknowledging God's gift. Regularly remembering what God has done for you. Where's Pete? Peter? Okay, I'm going to embarrass you now, Peter, in a good way. Can you handle that? Okay. It comes with being a church warden. No. Peter, I've seen a lot of Peter in the last few months in various groups and things. One of the things he celebrates regularly is Kate and the fact that God gave him a wife. It's fantastic. And he says it like that. God gave him Kate. And the circumstances, it's his story, it happened. That's so good. That's so healthy at all sorts of levels. This is what the Lord has done for me. Now, he doesn't need to do it every 7 days. I think his frequency is a bit higher in my estimation. But at least once every 7 days, nurture this treasure, celebrate this treasure. I have this life from God. It's wonderful. There's an American tradition, Thanksgiving. Just once a year. Even that, that's powerful. Once a year, this is our story. This is what we celebrate. This is what we cherish. Because God has not given us a spirit of slavery to just survive life and to grind through it whatever the pay package might be. God has given us a spirit, a basic inner quality of freedom. Freedom to be his children, freedom to live life in the dignity of a child of God. And that's to be cherished. And it's to be cherished regularly. Amen? So, footnote, you might not come to church every Sunday. I understand that. Guess what? I don't go to church every Sunday. I allow myself a Sunday off every few months. But what I think the essence of this is once every 7 days, remember. Even if you're traveling, huddle yourself or your kids or whatever and say, righto, it's the Lord's Day, 5 minutes, we're going to acknowledge God and remember. I'll leave that with you. Shall we pray?